Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast Extras. In this episode, we look at extreme memory overclocking on Ryzen CPUs and the real cost of building with Threadripper 3. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia. With me today, I have Darren McCain. In the previous podcast, we talked about AMD.
We did. The new Threadripper.
Threadripper 3 and how it is supposedly faster than a lot of the Intel solutions out there. I thought in this episode, this extra, this super extra, we need to get back to our roots, our overclocking roots.
That's right. Because as we barely had time to talk about in the last one, there are performance records to be had.
Yes. And this one in particular I would like to discuss is from our friends at Crucial.
Oh, yay.
Recently, they had the Micron Insight down in San Francisco, where they had Dr. Lisa Su and a couple of Micron executives talking about the performance of Micron memory and partnerships. And on the expo floor, if you will, they had an overclocking demonstration.
Nice.
They brought in OGS, who set the previous world record using Crucial Ballistics Elite 3600 megahertz memory. And set it to, was it 5734 or something like that, megatransfers
a
second?
Wow, that seems crazy fast.
Super crazy fast. And it lit up the internet saying, hey, Micron is back. They have super fast memory.
Which is exactly what I was thinking. Welcome back to the party.
Well, at Micron Insight, they flew in OGS from Greece, I think is where he's from. And they set another world record three times using the new Micron Ballistics Elite 4000 megahertz memory.
Well, you'd think it'd be faster, but still, that's impressive.
Super impressive, really. The best part about it is they didn't set it with an Intel CPU.
Oh, okay.
All the records previous to this were using either the Anniversary Edition, the 8086, or a 9900K. And we talked about this in a previous episode about how you would overclock your memory controller by reducing the amount of noise in the CPU. So you would run the CPU at like 800 megahertz, and then you would tune the memory controller against the memory, and then with some supercooling from liquid nitrogen, a little bit of voltage, and a lot of frequency adjustments.
And a little luck.
And a lot of luck. Not a little, a lot.
Okay.
And by luck, I mean deep pockets and a lot of memory money. MM.
Double M.
We need the dollars.
It's the secret sauce in memory overclocking.
I thought it would be fun to talk about that record. And I'm not discrediting Crucial Ballistics at all, because I think this is actually a great thing. And they're spending an exorbitant amount of time marketing this record to bring Micron back into the fold of performance.
Yeah. And the Elite stuff was always great memory. Very stable. Very good bang for your buck. But the Elite stuff hasn't been as fast as competitors like Corsair, for example.
No, Corsair had 4,000 megahertz memory a long time ago. G-Skill had 4,000 megahertz memory a long time ago. They have 4,000 megahertz memory with, or 4133 with RGB lights on it. And I want to say, I think it was G-Skill has 5,000 megahertz memory.
Holy cow.
The issue, though, is memory that goes that fast requires a deep pocketbook, because this is pretty expensive, highly binned memory, and a CPU that supports that speed, because not every CPU out of the box is going to support 5,000 megahertz. Not every motherboard is going to have that kind of a multiplier in the BIOS to allow you to run that fast.
So let's talk about it. What kind of equipment do you need to make a crazy speed run with some beautiful Ballistics Elite 4000 memory?
Well, we have a nice page on Ballistics Gaming, and I'll link it down in the show notes, that talks about what they used to set the record.
Okay, run it by me.
First on the list, the AMD Ryzen 5 3600X.
All right, now hold on. We just did a whole podcast about the new Threadripper.
Yeah.
This is not the new Threadripper.
This is not the new Threadripper.
This is not even the fastest Threadripper.
It's not even a Threadripper.
Oh, it's not even a Threadripper.
We have a Ryzen 5. Above the Ryzen 5, we have a Ryzen 7. And above the Ryzen 7, we have a Ryzen 9.
All right, something does not compute here. So why are we running a Ryzen 5 3600K? And I'm sure this is not the only overclocker that's using it, because as you mentioned, they're building on previous records.
They are. And this is something that we can discuss a little bit more when we get to the actual hardware bought record.
Yeah. Okay.
So we have the Ryzen 5 3600X Big Shock. This is like a $300 CPU.
I feel like you're starting to convince me that I might need a Ryzen build, but keep going.
Next on the list, we have the ASUS X57 ROG Crosshair VII, was that 8? Impact.
Now, we know that's about the top of the line for Ryzen boards last generation.
No, this is current generation.
How was that even current generation? I thought they changed the socket for the new ones.
That was for Threadripper.
Oh, again, Threadripper. Not Threadripper.
We have Threadripper on the brain. This
yes,
is crazy.
We do. Because it should be. You'd think that Threadripper is the champ.
It should be. This particular motherboard, though, is a mini ITX that looks like a slightly smaller micro ATX, if that makes any sense at all.
Generates heat less because it's smaller?
It has one PCI Express slot, which is ITX. It has two memory slots, which is actually important for memory overclocking. But we have a slot down here for the M.2, which makes the board bigger. It is like the crazy hybrid motherboard that we all wanted, but why not just make it a micro ATX and call it good?
Sure. And it's really only, what, an inch maybe bigger than the back slots?
Yeah.
The accessories take up more space. Oh, wow. It's tiny.
Well, and this won't fit in a mini ITX case either because it's too long.
How funny.
But this motherboard is used primarily because it has two memory sockets, and it's the ASUS ROG, which has a lot of support for memory overclocking because of those two slots. And the ROG pedigree of, hey, we want to make things go fast, and we want to help you get there.
And of course, Ballistics Elite DDR4.
Yes, this is their brand new memory. I have a kit in for review, and unfortunately, I'm having trouble finding a system that it runs on that isn't my 9900K.
Okay, interesting.
So we can talk about that later as well. And this is kind of goes back to compatibility and when memory gets introduced into the market and who buys into using that memory.
The high cost of being an early adapter.
Although I can say that this is supposed to be the Micron Elite works well on AMD systems, which is, I think, one reason they have this Ryzen CPU here. So it should work great on my Threadripper.
Okay, so you have yet to tell me what is the world record.
Okay, let's switch over to hardware bought.
Dun, dun, dun.
Gotta wait for it to load up. The new frequency world record is 3,027.2 megahertz.
That's impressive.
That's really super fast.
Okay, so now hold on. This memory normally clocks at 4, right? 4K?
Yes.
So how much faster is 3.027?
The answer is because DDR is double data rate. The frequency is only half of really what it is. So they're really, this is running at 6,000 megahertz.
Okay, that actually makes sense. And I don't know that I really thought about that before.
Yeah, well, I thought that they would actually have the real frequency up here, but the way that CPU-Z reports it is like this. We have a picture from, we have OGS at the Micron event. He posted a picture of him overclocking, which is actually kind of cool. You get to see a real overclocker in action. A very, very clean desk because they're on the expo floor. And
sure.
They have a gent here going and pouring liquid nitrogen while he's tweaking the system.
Very nice.
A very staged photo. I think this is pretty awesome. And in his forum thread about the record, he posted some more pictures from the event. So we'd see him in a face shield and gloves and a apron filling his LN2 door off of the big tank, which I thought was kind of funny.
Well, I guess you got to be safe when you're in front of the crowd.
The interesting thing about this, though, is that to make memory run this fast, as I mentioned before, you need to have a motherboard that supports frequency. You need to have a CPU that will support that speed of memory, not only at the XMP level, but then also at the overclock level. So you have to have a really, really good memory controller. And then you need to strike a balance between CPU frequency, maybe to lower the noise, and then also overclock the memory controller to get the speed out of the memory. Now, as you and I both know, DDR is like CAS 13, 17, 19. Well, if we go out to the CPU-Z page. This is where you can actually get an idea of what had to happen to make memory run this fast.
Okay.
He set the CPU frequency at 2.2 gigahertz. This is a 3.8 gigahertz CPU, so he underclocked the CPU.
Okay, now this is reducing the noise like you talked about.
Mm-hmm. So we have a little insight into the voltage that he set. However, this is also CPU-Z voltage, and it's not necessarily representative of what's in the system. But he was setting at 1.4 volts, so that's probably supplying power to the entire CPU, including the memory controller.
Okay.
If we scroll down to the memory, to set this record, he was running one stick of memory.
Okay, so why one stick of memory?
It reduces the noise.
Ah, okay, more noise reduction.
And it takes stress off of the memory controller. We have the frequency set here at 3,027.2 megahertz, or DDR6054.
That's impressive.
And then this is the most interesting part, the timings.
Okay, now those are numbers that I don't recognize. Now, I was always told that smaller numbers were better.
Yes, smaller is better. That's faster. Those are the tighter timings. And the interesting thing about DDR and SDRAM, right? We remember Cas2 modules, right?
Well, yeah, we've been around the block.
And then we get to like DDR3, and then all of a sudden it's Cas12. But it's running faster. So you would think with the looser timings, it would make the memory not so fast. But at this point, that's when frequency took over, and the faster the frequency, the more efficient the memory was. To run at 6,000 megahertz, he had to set it at Cas32.
That's a big number.
And that is why this record is really substantial, because you had to go to the extreme to get this kind of a frequency out of it. And it shows that the memory can support that, provided you have supporting hardware along with it.
Yeah, that's very nice. And of course, time and experience.
But some of that, you can find your own on HardwareBot. So remember this formula, this AMD Ryzen formula with the memory and whatnot?
Yes.
Well, there was another overclocker that set a very similar record right before OGS did at the Micron event.
Oh, okay.
This is a Taiwanese overclocker. We're going to pull up his record real quick. Dun, dun, dun. His record is 3,012.2 megahertz.
Also impressive and close.
And very, very close. This is why, you know, it's micro megahertz, which is like hertz, I guess.
Right.
But we see a very similar formula. We have a Ryzen 5 3600X running at 2.2 gigahertz.
Ooh, same motherboard even.
And he's running the Crosshair 8 Impact, same motherboard, same style of memory, same cooling, same company from Crucial.
Go Crucial.
Which kind of lets you know that this memory is probably good enough that we have multiple samples that will run this fast.
Which is good. That's really good, as opposed to there being a golden sample.
And if you go out to the CPU-Z verification page and scroll down to the timings, we will see a Cas30.
Oh, so only two a difference.
What happened here was, I believe, either these two overclockers are talking to each other and they figured out a formula that works, or as when I'm trying to set a record, I go and look to see where I want to be performance-wise, what kind of hardware and speeds that overclocker used, and then try to replicate it.
That makes sense. Why recreate the wheel?
And in this case, I think he recreated it.
And then bested it.
Yes.
Let's give credit where credit is due. The second place overclocker was?
Bin Bao, but it's Taiwanese and I'm probably mispronouncing it.
Wow. Okay. So still pretty impressive. How far do we have to go back before we hit an Intel processor?
I believe that is number three.
Okay.
With Topic. And he is using, if I remember correctly, 9900K. We'll wait until the score shows up.
Dun, dun, dun. And his score was a balmy
3,008.4 megahertz. And he's using an Intel Core i9 at 800 megahertz. And he's also using G-Skill Royal Memory, which is already a very fast module, plus 4,000 megahertz. I think this is like 46 or something like that.
So a good strong start there with some really fast hardware.
And a very similar timing setup. Cas31.
Okay, so now hold on. Looking for differences here. Obviously, you're on Intel. Mm-hmm. So we are using a looks like an MSI motherboard. Oh, in this case, It's the gaming edge.
But this is an AC, which means that it's a mini ITX motherboard, so it's small.
Again, reducing the noise. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing a pattern here.
There is a definite formula to making this work. And this is a formula that went all the way back to like Pentium 4 days and the Athlon A.
So excellent. So I think that as the Threadrippers are coming out, I expected them to be on top. And the fact that they're not is interesting to me. Why is that?
I think it comes down to noise. Threadripper is designed to bring together everything that makes the Zen cores good, which is the multi-threaded aspect. So we want to pack as many cores as we possibly can into this massive CPU and deliver the most power that we possibly can. This is like AMD talking.
Right.
We have the Ryzen CPUs, which are AM4 sockets designed for the retail space. These mimic a lot of what Intel has already produced. And since they are less complex over Threadripper, they can provide the same Zen experience and deliver a little bit more performance because it's a new technology and it's a new way of expressing how performance is put together.
So you're getting a lot more, but it's not necessarily faster.
No, it's not. And I will go on record as saying that the Ryzen CPUs are notoriously difficult to overclock because you have to deal with things like the fabric speed and the base clock and the multiplier and some of them being locked and motherboards not supporting different ways of overclocking. And some of the original Ryzens, depending on the chipset you had, you either got or didn't get multiplier control. Overclocking these really becomes making sure that you pick the right hardware, the right CPU, and then get a little bit of luck in marrying the two together to get the performance you're after.
And that makes sense. So I'm seeing that if you want gaming performance, mm-hmm. you're probably going to see less yield from the Threadripper, which is not a big surprise.
Nope.
You might still be looking at a Ryzen.
Yeah, a Ryzen, or they still say that the 9900K is the best gaming CPU out there. Based off of the benchmarks that I've seen when we talked about Threadripper in their previous episode, it does have the faster single core performance, and that is really where the gaming performance is. Now, if you're running applications on top of gaming, that is where multi-threaded, multi-core CPUs are going to reign supreme.
So not a big surprise, but choose your processor and your build based on what you're going to be using that system for most. And if you're going for the records, well,
it's Ryzen 5.
Dennis, this month we're all about the new Threadripper processor.
AMD, really.
Well, yeah, AMD in general. But, you know, since our last time we talked about builds was building machines that were just good enough for Call of Duty, I thought we should talk about, since the new Threadripper is really the high-end processor from AMD, mm-hmm. especially cost-wise, what a realistic high-end build would cost and what we'd pick to build a Threadripper 3 machine.
All right, we did the little dream build offline. So we can just go down the list and bring up things we want to talk about. How's that?
So let's talk about prices real world. And of course, we, as always, when we talk about real world prices, we say, this is at the time we recorded. Uh-huh. Your mileage may vary depending on when you listen to this podcast.
And discounts do not apply.
Yeah, it is, after all, the Christmas season. So at any given time, you might find a fantastic deal. And more power to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So of course, we've got to start with the processor. We went with the 3970X, the current top dog processor.
Yeah, that's the 32-core, 64-thread, and it racks in at $2,100 at Newegg.
Ouch, very impressive. And keep in mind that there is a higher speed, we think, 3990 on the horizon.
Yeah, which will probably be another $500 or $600.
So money's no object, and time is no object. You can wait. But if you're not, we're putting you on that beautiful ROG Strix motherboard we talked about already this podcast. We're looking at it now.
The e-gaming edition, which is not the most high-end board that you could possibly buy for the Threadripper, but it seems to be the most realistic. And I was surprised, and when we looked at the price on Newegg, it was like 500 plus.
Yep, 500 bucks, which is a lot for a motherboard, but not for a premium motherboard. And we all know The ROG brand and the Strix brand are going to give you the gaming performance that you need.
Or want.
More, maybe, than you want.
Yes.
So we got to cool this thing. I suggested that we go with an all-in-one because we know these things can generate heat. Mm-hmm. We thought what would be best would be a 360.
Probably a bit overkill on the cooling, but we are dealing with a 280-watt CPU, so...
And once you get up there, there's not that much difference to move into the Cooler Master Liquid, the ML360, for about $198.
$198?
That's an expensive one.
Well, it is also designed for the Threadripper socket. And I did notice that the CPU itself comes with a mounting bracket for an Asetek branded CPU cooler, all-in-one cooler, the little round ones. So you can just pop your mounting off of the one you have for your 2166 or whatever, 2066, pop that one on, and then use that same cooler on your brand new Threadripper.
Well, you got some functionality there.
A little bit.
All right. And we like it. It's pretty, and we know it's going to perform. Now, next, of course, you've got to power all that. Now, we kind of had a little discussion about this, but we decided if you're going to spend that kind of money,
yes,
you might as well get a platinum rated, and you might as well get enough power that the rest of the system doesn't matter. So we went with a 1,200-watt EVGA Supernova P2.
Fully modular. And to get the most out of this power supply, you need to have a dedicated circuit in your house if you're running 120 volts.
That's a lot of volts.
A lot of volts. And, you know, you're going to be running your monitor and your CPU, the tower, off of one circuit in your house. So don't try to turn on a blender.
No kidding. And... of course, it is a platinum, so you're going to get the best energy efficiency possible in a 1,200 watt.
Perfect for California.
We like it. Now, for memory, of course, we couldn't help ourselves. We got to go with the incredible Ballistix Elite Memory, the record holder.
How fast was that? 4,000 megahertz?
4,000. 32 gig kit, of course.
Yeah, so that gets you the four sticks because the Elite comes with 8 gig modules.
So this... world record holder, and we do love our Ballistix memory, especially the performance line, $550.
$550?
That's really true, $550. Now, that's not bad for world record holder 32 gig kit at $4,000. Now, you can spend more.
You can spend more. You could get a G-Skill kit like the Royale that's all gold and stuff, but we do like the heat spreaders on the Crucial Elite. Very tough, what's the word I'm looking for? Very utilitarian.
Utilitarian. Now, you're not going to get any RGB on your Ballistix memory, at least not this generation.
No, but honestly, I think lights on your memory are a little passe. Yeah.
Okay. Now, we decided that you're going to need a drive, not just any drive. You might as well get a 2 terabyte M.2 drive.
And you need to have one that supports PCI Express 4 for the best speed possible.
Absolutely, to max out that motherboard and take advantage of that latest chipset.
Mm-hmm. And what did we find?
Ironically, we found that Sabrent, not a brand that we normally look to, had the best value today, at least. That 2 terabyte M.2 drive was $600.
And to be honest, at Newegg, there was only two drives that were listed as supporting PCI Express 4.0. Sabrent and... Corsair.
So more to come on that. I'm sure you'll get more choices, but as you know, once you jump over the 1 terabyte mark, you're going to spend a lot of money for a performance drive, especially to get that 4.0.
Yes.
Now you're going to need a video card. You already spared no expense on your Threadripper, so why spare expense on your video card? That means, of course, you need a 2080 Ti.
RTX 2080 Ti.
And not just any RTX 2080 Ti. We went with the EVGA Black Edition.
Which, incidentally, is not the most expensive RTX that you can get from EVGA.
Which is okay. That's only a dual fan. You can get fancier ones, but do you need them?
Three fans.
It's kind of up to you. But, hey, today, and most of the time, you get a free game when you buy a 2080 Ti, and it is the latest Call of Duty game.
So, bonus.
Bonus.
Free game.
If you don't already have it, then, hey, you could call that, I don't know, $40, $50, $60 right there.
Yeah. So, how much is... So we know, how much is that?
$1,100.
Ouch.
Ouch. Hey, that's come down quite a bit from release prices.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right, so what do we have left?
All right, so you need a case to put all this beautiful hardware in.
Oh, yeah, we have lots of case choices, and I pulled the trigger on this one. This was my suggestion.
So your choice today was?
The Thermaltake View 71. And the reason I chose this case is primarily because these boards, these TRX 40 boards, are big.
Yes.
Granted, the e-gaming is a standard ATX, but it does have that third set of mounting posts that are required to mount the board. So we can't do a standard ATX case, a gaming case. We need to do something much larger. The View 71, four sides tempered glass, actually really good cooling once you get the fans pointed in the right direction, and it supports the extra large motherboards.
And we did choose the ARGB edition, which, if I'm not mistaken, comes with some pretty RGB fans for just a few dollars more.
Yeah, and they are the Thermaltake branded ones, but they come with the controller, so you can hook it into the ASUS motherboard.
I think they look great, and for once, I won the battle for a little bit of bling.
Bling, bling, yeah.
Now, it goes without saying that anytime you build a system, we sadly have to call the operating system an expense. So Windows 10, not a big surprise, Pro. It's a pretty safe bet. You may find a better deal out there, but you can always count on a copy for about $100.
Yes.
So the grand total for this beautiful machine.
Should we get a drum roll?
Drum roll. Now, this machine is probably overkill for almost everyone, but if you're building for the future and you got to have a Threadripper and you want the best performance possible without doing anything crazy like six M.2 drives or the like.
Ooh, yeah.
You're going to spend, where's that drum roll? $5,663. So $5,600, give or take.
Yeah, not including shipping, not including discounts. Some labor may apply.
I hope you know what you're doing if you're building this machine.
But yeah, $5,600, you could build a lot of legit gaming machine for that kind of cash.
I feel like still your money goes pretty far with an i9.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the 9900K, it's still touted as being the best gaming CPU out there, primarily because it's within the realm that a lot of games support. The Coffee Lake has 8 cores with hyper-threading, so you get 16 threads, and it's only $500. That is a fourth of what the Threadripper costs. It also has a fourth of the amount of cores, but a lot of those cores get unused when you're playing Battlefield or Modern Warfare.
But ancillary cost? How about motherboards? Competitive?
About $350 for a good one, give or take.
Saving money there. But will it support the Ballistics 4K memory?
Yes, it will. Out of the box, it will.
So there you are. You're saving almost $1,600 if you go with that processor motherboard combo.
Yeah.
All the rest of the build left the same.
Which... what, drops it down to $4,000 range?
Wow. So $4,000 is still a lot to spend on a PC, but I still think your money is going to be a little better spent on the Intel product. You're going to get nearly the same speed. You get everything you need. You're saving enough money to consider even looking at a second 2080 Ti.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwaresound.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Sound by subscribing to our RSS. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2019. Thanks for listening.